This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
Hey Trojan fans, it's time to get into the huddle with the Peristyle Podcast. The Peristyle Podcast is your weekly ticket to USC football and recruiting news. Don't forget, you can download the podcast 24/7 at our website, peristylepodcast.com. And now, here's the host of the Peristyle Podcast, USCFootball.com publisher, Ryan Abraham.
Oh, Trojan fans, welcome to the Peristyle Podcast. On a Monday, we got to recap what was going on at USC over the weekend with the spring game, wrapping up 5 weeks of USC spring football. And we're going to do that with the coach, Harvey Hyde. Follow him on Twitter at Coach Harvey Hyde or go to his website, HarveyHyde.com, for all of his content. Both the coach and I were in the press box on Saturday afternoon. Beautiful day in Los Angeles. It was cool from the Coliseum press box. You can now see the space shuttle, which is erect and pointing up in the air now. They've set that over there. So that's, you can see that over on the Peristyle end of the Coliseum. So that was a little bit different look. And Lucas Museum starting to come together a little bit more. So all the construction kind of going on around the Coliseum, it was cool. And it was cool to see the product on the field. So we're going to talk to the coach about all that, everything he saw out there. If you have a question for the show, podcast at uscfootball.com is our email address, or you can call or text us at 424-254-9141. And if you have the Apple Podcasting app or Spotify, those are areas where you can get the podcast, the Peristyle Podcast, delivered right to your phone or device. And you can leave us reviews there. 5-star ratings are awesome. And if you want to leave some kind of feedback, comments, suggestions, questions, anything, that helps to grow the show. So we appreciate that. Leave us a little 5-star review over there, and we will thank you very much and read it on the show. And let's talk to the coach right now, Coach Harvey Hyde. Good to see you out there in the Coliseum, Coach. I know it was April, but, you know, felt a little like a football weekend again, a little taste before we get back to the fall.
I agree with you. And, yeah, you mentioned the view from the Coliseum and so on. I've never seen the Coliseum look so pretty. I mean, all the seatings, it looked like they'd done a lot of painting. The turf was absolutely beautiful. It was just a beautiful day and a beautiful setting for a final day of spring practice for the Trojans. And I know everybody was anticipating exactly what to see and how to evaluate them, because there's been very little talk or very little, opportunity to evaluate any of the players or what they're doing offensively or defensively and so on. And Saturday, we got a look, very vanilla as far as what they did, but we can form an opinion and pass that on to everybody that's listening.
Yeah, I wanted to get your opinion on that, Coach, because as you mentioned, we don't get to watch much anymore. We used to be able to watch a lot more in spring football, so we could tell you, say, if this – you know, if Jacoby Lane was looking really good, or Jacoby Covington was just covering people well in the quarterback spot. We can't see those competitive periods anymore, and you can't get a feel for what's going on, especially in the trenches. So we do get a shot to see in the spring game. And, you know, I wanted to get your opinions on what you saw out there, if anything kind of stood out to you? It was probably a little more vanilla. They're just, you know, two basically quarters of football. They did thud, so it wasn't full tackling. And Lincoln Riley talked about that with the numbers, that they did a little bit more thud. They've had some live periods that we don't get to see, and then we didn't really get to see much live tackling in the game, in the spring game either. But just kind of overall impressions, or anything kind of stood out to you, Coach, from what you saw out there on the Coliseum?
Well, I tell you, the first thing I saw is, I don't know if you noticed it, but I'm sure you did, Ryan. I'd love to see the Trojans huddle up. I love to see them break the huddle. And that was a great feeling to see that old style of football come back, where everybody isn't standing on the line of scrimmage, looking to the sideline with all these cards and all these signals and all of that going on. It looked like a football game where everybody knew what play was called. The quarterback was facing the players. If there was any questions in the huddle, he could answer it. They'd break the huddle, go to the line of scrimmage, and run the play. I thought that was wonderful to see again. And I sort of timed it, and I think they ran more plays with the running time now, the way it's going to be. I think they ran more plays quicker than if they were to stand on the line of scrimmage, look to the sideline, try to make sure they get all the signals, and then run the play. So that's the first thing I noticed, because the communication now with the play caller to the quarterback eliminates all those cards and hand signals and all of that, okay? So that really impressed me. I liked seeing that type of football come back. I've always told you that I like to huddle. I like communications. I like people knowing what's going on. If there's any questions, you answer it. Or if you have to talk to the team, you can always say, we got to have this play now. We got to have it. A little word of encouragement from the quarterback or whatever, your leader on the offensive side of the football. Also, for the first time, they're able to use the iPads on the sideline, where the quarterback, you see it in the NFL, they come off the field, or any position comes off the field, and they have an iPad for you to look at and see what the other team is doing, and you can discuss it or look at it with your coach or whatever. So I don't know how much that was used, but they had the opportunity of using it if they wanted to explore it. So I like those two things that are a part of now the new phase of college football, so I really enjoyed that. Now, as far as what I didn't really appreciate, and I think it shocked everybody in the entire press box, there was no mention at all that it was going to be thud. I mean, you'd think that someone would say, okay, this is what we're doing. They had in front of us how they were going to score the spring game as far as the offensive scores and the defensive scores and how many points you get and so on. But there was no discussion, unless you know it, and I didn't know it, that there was going to be a thud scrimmage where it was just going to be like two hands touch, hit the ball, or hit it, go, and then, you know, make a tackle, or the official would spot the ball of where it's supposed to be as far as what they assumed the game was. So I think as the game went along, you can see it picked up the pace. It wasn't exactly thud then. There was more tackling going on. So I was disappointed in that. I just want you to know I was disappointed in that because, again, we weren't able to evaluate the speed of the game and exactly what we thought as far as the tackling and different parts of the game that helped me evaluate it at a full speed pace. So that was something I wasn't expecting. And, again, I was surprised at that. What is what we saw. As far as two halves or two quarters, that didn't bother me at all. Because you don't want to get anybody hurt, and I don't think they got anybody hurt. But my experience as a coach is you get more players injured when you're doing thud because no one really knows what speed thud is. What I mean, you always have someone doing a little bit more than thud. And someone's not prepared for a block or not prepared for a tackle or so on, and someone gets hurt. But fortunately, that didn't happen for USC. At least I didn't think it happened. Maybe you know something more than what I do. So that was disappointing to me as far as not seeing an all-out scrimmage, the way a game is supposed to be played and so on. So, again, that's what I thought of that part of it so far, and we can get into the players and the plays and the defense and the offense as soon as we move along here.
Sure thing, Coach. Yeah, we didn't know that it was going to be thud. I just tweeted that out when I was like, oh, They didn't tackle. And I was like, well, maybe this first quarter they won't tackle and they'll tackle in the second quarter. But pretty much there was not. They had a few tackles, I think, right? When they were doing like some short yard situation, you could tackle the running back. But for the most part, it was thud. So, yeah, that wasn't and a guy like Jaden Baiava, there were some design runs for him. And then it's just like, it's different when you can't tackle versus, and you're not going to tackle the quarterback anyway. But, so that was a little different. We were surprised by that too, Coach. Maybe a little surprising that the defense comes out and the first three drives ended in interceptions. And later on, there was a pick six by Prophet Brown, like on a tip ball that looked like it could have been a touchdown from Miller Moss. And it pops up in the air. And we get to see Prophet Brown return it for 100 yards for a touchdown. But, four interceptions, including the first three drives. It was like that modified scoring system where the defense started off 24-0 and the offense never got things going. They ended up scoring four touchdowns, but that was just 28 points. All the interceptions, including the touchdown the defense scored, resulted in the defense having 43 points and the offense end up getting 28. But yeah, I wanted to get, maybe we'll start with the defense, Coach, with those four picks and anything you did see, even though they weren't tackling to the ground.
Yeah, I would think that the defense was playing pass more than run. Obviously, you can't tackle a guy at the line of scrimmage, and every time they ran the ball, I think they didn't run the ball much. It was two-thirds pass and one-third run, probably, when you look at the numbers. Well, they're going to run the ball, blow the whistle, so what's the secondary going to do? They don't have to come up and make any tackles or anything. In most cases, they do after a guy makes 15 yards or whatever. So they're going to play soft and play back there and play in a zone and go to the ball, and the ball gets tipped and you get an interception, and the zone closes down when they're all playing past the spacing as far as getting the ball in there. On a fade route, they got a touchdown on a fade route. Obviously, that's man-on-man, a big receiver catching a football, which was a nice thrown pass. When you're playing that type of thud, it's almost like 11-on-11 thud or 7-on-7 because the defensive backs really play pass and not really run. So it gives the defensive secondary a more of an advantage than it would normally. And then on the offensive side of the football, there were plays that they could have run that the defense never could have stopped at all, and that's a scissor series for one. When they would run the keep, the quarterbacks are still be running because they had no way of stopping that. You said that earlier when Miller Moss, the big kid from Vegas, just would run out there and run the keep, and they had no way of worrying about stopping that, and or they weren't trying to stop it. They had no really on him, and later down in the end zone, they threw the scissor pass with the back in the flat, and he was wide open. Because they weren't supposed to run that, but Lincoln Riley wanted to score a touchdown, so he ran that. So the plays weren't scripted, but they were done. Certain plays were not going to be run, where the defense didn't have to worry about covering it, and they ran it only a couple of times just to say they have it. And the defense basically knew more as far as what they had to do on the pass type of the offense. And the offense, they go against the offense the entire time. They didn't have to worry about the run. And, the pass rush, too, they rushed four the entire game. They maybe blitzed or sent a stunt three or four times the entire day. So the back would be able to stretch the defense because he knew he didn't have to block anybody. So there's a lot of pluses. There was no draws. There was nothing to cut down on the rush. So pass blocking was pretty good. Not too many sacks. So it was. I don't know how to say this to you, but it wasn't a real game type of situation. Okay, and I think that's the best way of explaining it.
Yeah, it wasn't a real game situation. So that's why. I mean, you don't want to take too much away from it. Like the secondary is going to be amazing, or the quarterbacks are terrible or anything like that. It wasn't game-like kind of situations there. But, you get to see some individual players and, they can shine in certain situations. And I think it's less about, you're not trying to figure out, well, the team is going to be like this because of what we saw in the spring game. But I think you could see more. You could more of a predictor would be how you think some of these players are going to end up playing. And, you know, looking at that core group of young wide receivers, it's I think they're living up to the billing that we saw in the Holiday Bowl. And I think that's positive. And, you know, we thought the secondary would be a lot deeper. And, you know, guys like DeCarlos Nicholson comes in. He had a great pass defense on one of the first drives and then gets an interception on a nice play on the very next drive. So he made his presence, you know, felt, the transfer in from Mississippi State. So there's some guys I think that you looked at. You're like, oh, okay, looks like he can play. Anything sort of kind of stand out to you from what you saw?
I agree with you. I thought the receivers have talent. They're talented. I think they've got a good group of receivers. They talk about they need another receiver or two. I don't know why, but they think they do. And Carl Ford is one they're talking about, or people are talking about coming back from UCLA. You know, myself, they rotated a lot of receivers almost on every down, whether the tight end was in or out, or they were going to run different sets and so on. That's the only thing that slowed them down. They just rotate a lot of receivers into the game. But I think they're talented. Branch really didn't catch a lot of balls. He caught the first pass of the scrimmage. I don't think they're doing anything different on offense. I think it's the same offense. I liked it because they ran more split backs or two back sets, and I wish they would complete that series. I think it gives them a lot more in pass blocking. I think gives them a lot more in play action pass, and the play action pass they did really helped them a lot as far as the action and the plays that come off of it, as far as the keeps, and you can run draw off of that. I like it. I just like the two-back set with them. The tight end, again, was doing the same thing that he did a year ago. He's basically a blocker. I think they threw one pass to the tight end. So it's nothing new on the offensive side of the football that I saw. Nothing new. The evaluating the quarterbacks, I like this kid from UNLV. I saw him play last year. I think he has tremendous potential. 15 for 17, one interception, one touchdown. A lot of them were short passes. His problem in the past has been he didn't play consistent. And when he drove the team down on that first drive, he threw that deep pass, and it was short. He just didn't get it done. But he was making nice throws before that, and he's big, and he can see. And I thought Miller Moss is good. I think I think he should be the starter. There's no question about that because of his experience. Wasn't one of his better days. I think he struggled the first two series. But probably because he was adjusting to the secondary and all of that as far as playing as well. And I think they have gifted athletes in the secondary. I really do, and I think they're better coached in the secondary. They had one or two busted coverages, but they're around the football, and I think that's important. They're around the football. There wasn't any guy wide open, and if a guy made a catch, he had to make a great catch. And the reason why they had a lot of interceptions was because they're around the receivers and they tipped the ball or didn't let the receiver have easy catches. Just a couple, not many. So I think that really builds the confidence of the offensive side of the football also, because I think what you needed to do this spring is build confidence not only for the team but for the fans that you can play defense. And the offense has got to get a feeling that, hey, we got a defensive team now that can play defense. We don't have to outscore everybody. So I think it was very important that in the spring they developed their defense for confidence as far as for the entire team that, hey, we can play defense now. We're going to be much better on defense now. But there's still things that are lacking personnel-wise on both sides of the football.
Yeah, no, I think it's certainly not a finished product, but there were some, you know, positives you can, you know, take out of the game there. I mean, the scoring, whatever, like that was just And you don't look much kind of into that, but, you know, there's some new contributors. And, you know, you mentioned the quarterbacks. Lincoln Riley did talk about, you know, if there was a game tomorrow, Miller Moss would be the starter. But, you know, you like the upside of Jaden Maiava coming in from UNLV and what, you know, he could potentially, you know, bring to the offense. A guy like Woody Marks, I got to see a little bit of him, not too much. But, you know, he likes the running back room, you know, the receiver room, not super deep, but they're really talented. I think Jacoby Lane, I believe he only had that one catch, but it was a one-handed one. Let me see. Did Lane have, oh no, he had three catches. I'm sorry about that, for 36 yards, but that one-handed one over the middle, was pretty impressive. Mekhi Lemon had the most catches, 6 catches for 52 yards. And, he had a touchdown. So, you know, good to see that, but you know, it was good to see a few new faces. There's some different numbers, just kind of get a feel for, you know, maybe what we can expect, coming in. And I think the thing you mentioned, Coach, stood out to me the most is, yeah, like there's a talent in the secondary, but they were around the ball and they looked like they were coached better. They didn't, you know, there wasn't guys just running wide open all the time, which we've seen a lot with this USC defense. So I guess that was more encouraging than anything, that if you just watch how the defense was executing, it looked like it was better coached than what we've seen in the last couple of years.
I thought there was, because I think they're asking the kids to do things they can do rather than running defenses where it's impossible for a certain individual to cover a certain person, as what I saw. But again, they didn't run plays to try to hurt the defense either, as far as, you know, they didn't have to worry about spreading the field, the bootlegs, a very few passes in the flat. And when they threw the ball in the flat, the guys were wide open. You know, they knew what they were trying to emphasize and what they were trying to get done to develop the football team. And personnel-wise, when you look at that, I try to watch the techniques of the offensive line and the players there. I think Paige is going to be a good football player. I think he'll be capable on the left tackle spot. I have question marks at the left guard. I told you that before. I think the center is capable and be a good center. Right guard is a question mark. He's a young kid, had a couple of legal procedures, but that's going to happen because he's going to be nervous. Right tackle Murphy, you know, he's got to have better agility, but he's got to work on that. He's got to work on his feet, and that's just part of coaching and a lot of jump rope and a lot of different things that he has to do. I think if you wanted to fight him, he'd be really tough to beat. But if you're going to try to out-connect him get around him, that's the way you want to do. I don't think you want to power rush against him, but he's a big, strong kid. On the defensive side, Bear Alexander, I got a big question mark. I don't know what's wrong with him, but you never really hear much about him. I don't know if you don't want to play a kid that's hurt. But again, you want a kid that wants to get in the game. And I don't get the feeling that he wants to get in the game. Now, this is just me, okay? As far as a guy you're counting on so heavily that, you know, sometimes you want to play. And we haven't heard much about him at all this spring. Linebackers, hard to judge, but most of the time they were covering pass. The outside rush guys, hard to evaluate. Because they went all out, but, you know, hard to tell, but they didn't really do any type of cross chargings or other things and to run a complete defense. It's all there. Running backs, let me put it to you this way. I think they're all capable running backs. There are no stars. Like last year, Caleb Williams was a star. Rice was a star. There were some players that were labeled as stars, like Washington, who was. I thought Washington was a great player, the receiver. But starting this season, when you went to the game, there wasn't any stars, as far as I'm concerned. Now, Ryan, you might think there's a star that you wanted to watch. I don't think there's been a player marketed out there to be a star yet. So I'm looking forward to seeing who those players are going to be and who's going to develop who they are as far as the fans that want to watch.
Yeah, we'll see if there's someone can emerge as a star. The last 2 years, Coach, you had Travis Dye come in and be a real leader as a veteran running back transferring in. Then last year, Marshawn Lloyd, and he's got a chance to be a second, third round draft pick, came in and kind of had a starring kind of role. And we'll see if Woody Marks can do the same thing coming in from Mississippi State 3 years in a row with a veteran running back, coming in. So, interesting stuff. Any other kind of thoughts from anything kind of stand out to you from the spring game before we kind of move on? It was, good to see a little football. Not exactly what we maybe were expecting with no tackling, but, you get a little glimpse and, try to tide you over until August when fall camp starts.
Yeah, I like to always pass on experiences. I have parking in the parking structure. Went over to the elevator and pushed a button, and there was this nice couple, and I said, go ahead, ride with us. We went up, and I said, hi, you must be here. You have a son or a grandson or someone that's playing, but you look ready to play. And he laughed, and he said, yes, my grandson is here now. And I said, well, may I ask who that is? And he says, Marcellus Williams. I said, wow, I tell you, he's had a great spring. He says, we're so proud of him. I said, if he does anything today, I'm going to think of you. And by gosh, you made that interception. And I thought of him. So if they're listening, I just want to pass that on, that it was nice meeting you, and he's going to be a great player.
Oh, that's great. Well, it's good to pass that along. He did play very well. Coach had that interception. We've heard a lot of good things when we ask players about, like, hey, who stood out? And his name comes up quite a bit. So, good for that. Good you got to kind of see the family there. Let me see. I'm trying to look up his
25.
Yeah, where his numbers were on.
Okay.
I wouldn't see. I don't see him listed in the defensive stats, but he did have that interception. Good for him. That was to come in as a freshman and get the kind of attention that he did. In just fall camp. I mean, in spring camp, which is like, okay, that makes sense. And then get to see it and be like, okay, he looks like he's moving around out there well. It looks like he's someone that can, as a true freshman and you're supposed to still be in high school, still look like, okay, this guy can play. So, pretty impressive, there, and, good to see what he was doing. Okay. Oh, he had, two solo tackles, three tackles total and that interception. So
that's great.
Yeah. But it was good showing from the freshman.
I thought it was. One thing I was concerned with, and maybe you know the reason, I think I have a understanding why I think they didn't sign autographs or take pictures on the field. See, myself, at the last day of spring, I always thought it would be great to have a big barbecue and make a big thing out of it, like the winning team gets steaks and the losing team gets hot dogs, and the people enjoy and meet the kids and take pictures with the kids and get autographs, and the young kids that are at the game want to grow up and they start to follow the players and they want to be Trojans and all of this. There was none of that, and I thought that was that could be a way of marketing the team where people have a chance to meet them. There, the crowd was around, I would guess, now I'm guessing, there was around 10,000. Would you say I'm right or wrong?
Yeah, I didn't see I'm sorry if I missed it, but they didn't give an official attendance number, at least that I saw. Maybe I missed it because I did a charity event afterwards. So after I left the event, I had to go do work there. But it probably like 15,000 range, something like that is what I would guess.
And I'll tell you what, I don't know, but the traffic that Saturday, last Saturday, was unbelievable. I don't know if you hit it or not, but there are a lot of things happening on campus and a lot of things happening in Los Angeles. So it was a big day. But your thoughts on the autograph thing as far as after the game, wouldn't you think it'd be a nice thing to have the players there and take pictures with the families and Trojans and so on?
Yeah, that's something that used to occur for sure. And, if you remember what they called it, the Trojan Huddle, like kind of Pete Carroll era, and there would be like in and out trucks there and stuff. It definitely had a different sort of feel to it. I think it would be something, I'll ask around and see if that was discussed, if they did want to do some sort of autograph signing. And, if they did anything with like Caleb Williams, obviously his line was going to be like super long. But I think, for this kind of team, there's not really, like you mentioned, some kind of superstar that you know of yet. And it might be, I think it would have been a good opportunity for fans to kind of get down there, especially because it wasn't super packed or anything, to get down there and take pictures or get some autographs from some of their favorite players. So, yeah, I don't know why. I'll ask around a little bit. I don't know if that was discussed at all, Coach. I think, if I remember correctly, they were still doing stuff like that pre-pandemic. And then since the pandemic, I don't think they've had, if I recall correctly, my memory doesn't serve me well all the time, but I don't think we've seen something like that in the last several years. But I could ask around and see if that was talked about at all.
Right. I just think it's something that the players enjoy too, meeting the fans and sort of saying it's over with. It seems like this team has been so protected as far as being around people or media or whatever. I don't understand it. And I don't know if it's because of the NIL. Let me give you an idea of what I'm talking about. Three of the players were at the Long Beach Grand Prix yesterday, and they were signing. So I don't know if that's part of their NIL agreement or whatever. It'd be a good question, Ryan, for you to find out exactly why they've eliminated that. As far as from the people actually meeting the players and be a part of the, feel a part of the team, and little kids cheer for players because the players took a picture with them or they put it up in their bedroom, something like that.
Yeah, I'll ask around, Coach, and see what I can find out there. So it'll be I'll let you know what to say. All right. Well, why don't we do this? We have a couple questions to get to. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back, do a few questions, and then move on. Back in a minute, everybody.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You can now relive the best moments of the UEFA Champions League 24/7. The UEFA Champions League channel is a new 24-hour streaming channel serving nonstop goals, highlights, and full match replays from the world's most prestigious club competition. Reminisce on your favorite moments, legendary players, and brilliant goals with the UEFA Champions League channel, streaming around the clock on Pluto TV and the CBS Sports app.
Are you looking to advertise a campaign, short film, a public service announcement, an important message? Look no further than Regency Outdoor. We have been around since 1974 and have the greatest locations in Southern California for your advertising goals. Our creative billboards are sure to catch everyone's attention. Make an impact anywhere and everywhere in Southern California. To get started and for more information, call 310-657-8883 or visit RegencyOutdoor.com. Regency makes it easier than ever to get your message everywhere in Southern California.
All righty, we're back here on the Peristyle Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Abraham, joined by the coach, Harvey Hyde. We want to get to a couple questions and then move on. Hopefully you guys enjoyed a little recap of what was going on at the USC spring game. You know, don't take too much away from it. Four interceptions, the quarterbacks are all terrible, and the team, you know, they're going to be crazy, whatever, all that stuff. I wouldn't take too much away from it. We did get a text from Mike in the Bay Area. He said, just watched the spring game today. No one had a Trojan head on their helmet. Is Lincoln Riley not gold plating anyone anymore? And if you remember that practice, coach, you'd have to kind of earn, get the gold plating, earn your sticker. I believe, though, Mike, that's a fall camp tradition and not a spring ball tradition, if I'm not mistaken. I didn't notice that on the helmets and stuff, coach. That's not usually what I get after, but dude, I don't know if you noticed any of that and any thoughts on it, coach.
I always check the uniforms. I always check to see that if they're dressed properly and they're in a team look. And I think that there wasn't any helmets on or any Trojans on any of the helmets. And you know me, I check the socks, I check every single thing. If their jerseys are tucked in, if they have jerseys underneath that are different colors, all that part of the discipline of the we're a team and not me. No individuals. Stars are made by teams supporting them. So I look at all of that, and no, I don't think there was any thing on the helmet whatsoever.
Yeah. You definitely notice all of the the uniform stuff. I just like stuff. When people will be like, hey, did you see the socks? I'm like, no, I didn't see
No, I do. I look at that. I look at what the coaches wear, if they're all wearing the same thing or not wearing the same thing. I look at everything because I was a stickler on all of that as far as when I was a coach, as far as watching all that and making sure the socks were the same length, all of that. You know me. I've talked about this before.
Yeah. Were you okay with what the coaches were wearing and stuff? Anything stand out?
Well, let's don't get into that today. I mean,
fine. All right. Well, that's that probably answers the question pretty well. We got West Texas Mike. He's in Las Vegas right now, but I got to meet him at the Pac-12 basketball tournament. So it was cool to kind of meet him earlier, but he wrote in, he said, so offensive line coach Josh Henson told Ryan that USC's defensive line is now trying to play through the offensive line, a more brutish physical approach, you know, like, and he put in all caps, football, rather than the previous scheme of using quote unquote quickness to hit the gaps and run around linemen who would then use their driving force to push them out of the play. So you're telling me that the Alex Grinch's speed D not only hampered our defense by allowing them to get pushed out of position, that is when they get bothered to line up correctly, it not only caused massive gaps when playing linebacker, that made playing linebacker nearly impossible, but it also stunted the growth and development of our offensive line. I'm so full of rage. I've come the last two seasons right up there with the 4th-and-2 play call that had Reggie Bush on the sideline and the 13-9 loss to our heated rival UCLA when another national championship was within reach. What? How? Will I ever come to forgive Lincoln for the Alex Grinch era? So he's a little unhappy. So this was during an interview a couple weeks ago, coach, when I asked Josh Henson about that, and he had talked about defensive linemen trying to run through their guys instead of around them, and it's helped their development. So West Texas Mike is not very happy about that development. But any thoughts you had on that, coach?
Yeah, to run through people, you got to have studs, okay? You got to have guys that can knock guys backwards off the line of scrimmage when you play that type of physical type of defense. Knock off all the timing, the pulling, everything that's going on. Knock guys if they can't get to the linebackers, the whole package. Now, if you don't have those type of players playing on the defensive line, guys that can knock you out, then you got to do another technique, and that's sort of go left or right in your type of gap defenses and all of that. Now, I saw them working on that in warm-ups, so they do have that technique. You know, they just play straight the entire game on the defensive side of the line. You better have some studs, some guys that will knock you back like I've heard Bear Alexander is supposed to do, which I haven't seen him do yet. So, you know, that when you knock people back, you got to have guys that can knock people back. If you don't, then you got to play a different type of defense. You can't knock people back when they're dominated on the line of scrimmage. And you notice that, I don't know how many people noticed the splits on the offensive line of USC on Saturday. They're huge, huge splits. So if you're knocking somebody back, if you have a tie, you've got an automatic hole there. But your linebackers are 5 to 6 yards deep. So you got to have some guys that when they give you a big gap, sometimes you got to take a gap and have somebody fill the gap that you left. But you got to mix it up, too. You can't just play always the same type of front. I mean, I used to be able to tell my offensive lineman to experiment how far that guy will go with you on the outside shoulder or nose. If he'll go out 4 feet from you, take him out, especially when the play's the other way, because you take him away from the play. So you experiment a lot on exactly what the defensive rules are of the defensive side of the football. So, if you want to play smash-mouth football up front, you got to have some guys that are heavyweight champions, okay? Otherwise, you better find another way of doing it.
Yeah. Coach, all right. Well, good stuff. Kind of hearing about the team and what you thought about the spring game. We got the NFL draft coming up this weekend, so Caleb Williams going number one to the Bears. We'll see where guys like Marshawn Lloyd and Brendan Rice go, those potential like day two kind of picks. But any kind of thoughts going into the draft before we let you go?
No, there's been a lot of discussion on who's going to be the number one pick, hasn't there? I mean, there's still a question mark. You know, it's not an automatic thing. You really don't know. But I'm anxiously waiting to see exactly what happens in the draft. I always love the draft. Everybody wants to play on Friday, Saturday, and then on Sunday, and this is a dream come true now for players. And believe me, if you go into second or third round or fourth round, don't feel bad about it. Because today with the draft, there's a lot of third, fourth, and fifth round players that make you rosters. In fact, if I'm a director of player personnel, I got to take somebody in the fifth round that can play and make our roster. So I'm not going to take anybody in the fourth or fifth round that I don't think that can't play. Because it's so important today to have people on your roster that can play on special teams. And there's so many great athletes today that you can't make a mistake.
No, yeah. And then it's funny. We just saw that Zach Wilson ends up getting traded to the Denver Broncos. And, I mean, you talk about making a mistake late in the draft. I mean, that whole class of 2021, those quarterbacks, Justin Fields, he got traded for like nothing. Mac Jones, Zach Wilson, now Trey Lance, no one even got traded for like anything. I think the best trade was like a fourth round pick or something for one of those guys. You're missing out, you know, there's a lot of misses that happen. You want to take a chance on someone later in the draft if you really think they can play, like you said. But man, it's tough if you miss somebody in the first round, especially a quarterback. So there's a lot of good quarterbacks. That's what makes this one interesting because, you know, is Drake May going to be good? Is Jaden Daniels going to be good? Bo Nix, Michael Penix. Like, there's a lot of guys that people think could be franchise quarterbacks, and how many of them end up being that? I don't know. So I'm really looking forward to this draft. Should be a lot of fun. I think it's a lock that Caleb goes number one, but like you said, you never know. We'll see. But with all those quarterbacks early, and then some potential USC guys that could go on day two, it'll be fun to kind of see where everything kind of winds up and how those guys end up, you know, where the new teams they end up on.
Let me give you a story, okay, on a quarterback I had, Randall Cunningham, who played for me at UNLV. A lot of people were really interested in him. We had a great season with him. Won 11 games. He played in his trying game, was MVP, Japan Bowl. We won that. Had a great combine. Did everything. And he didn't go in the first round. In fact, no quarterback went in the first round. We thought the Raiders were going to take him. So I went to the second round, and I got a call from the Eagles. They called me in the office, Len Stiles. He was director of player personnel, was at UCLA at one time. He says, Coach, we're thinking of taking Randall Cunningham, our first pick in the second round. What's your thoughts? I said, Len, well, what's your question? He says, well, we got to make sure he plays. If we make a mistake here, I'll lose my job. And I said, hey, Len, I'm not that good a coach. This guy's a great player. If you take him, you'll get a pay raise. You're not going to lose your job. You're going to get a pay raise. So he says, okay, coach, if you say that. And then all of a sudden we were listening, and it said the Eagles take Randall Cunningham. And that first year as a rookie, he knocked everybody dead. I mean, he was a third down back. He went in the game on every third down situation, third or long, because they didn't know if he was going to punt the ball or they were going to run a play. You know, he was just a great athlete. And, you know, he went on to become a most valuable player in the NFL. Would have gone to the Super Bowl. They went 15-1 with him with the Vikings, except Anderson missed a field goal. Otherwise, they'd have played in the Super Bowl. Just a great player with the Eagles. He's in the Ring of Honor there for the Eagles. So, you know, you got to be right, and you got to have confidence in your judgment of a football player. And if you take the right player, you get a pay raise, you know?
Yep. We'll see. There could be some GMs getting fired, some GMs getting raises after this draft. We'll see. No, you know, they're fine. They make plenty of money, so I'm sure they'll end up somewhere else if they end up getting fired. But our coach, great stuff. We really appreciate all the thoughts and insights. Great to talk with you again. And I guess we got a long off season now until fall camp starts. But we'll do shows and coverage of everything. But it was great to kind of catch up with you and see what you thought about the spring game. But thanks again.
Ryan, thank you. And it was great seeing you. And it was great seeing the team in action for the first time this year. And we get ready for fall camp. And then everyone goes to Las Vegas to watch Trojans open up against LSU.
Yeah, for sure. Going to be exciting going out there to Allegiant Stadium. So count down to that right now with the spring game over. All right, well, that's going to wrap things up. For the coach, Harvey Hyde, I am Ryan Abraham. Hope you guys enjoyed the show, and we will talk to you next time.
You've been listening to the Peristyle Podcast, presented by USCFootball.com. Be sure to tune in next week for the latest news on Trojan football and recruiting. And don't forget, you can automatically download the podcast directly to your smartphone or tablet for free. Just click the iTunes link on PeristylePodcast.com or search for Peristyle Podcast at the iTunes Music Store.